Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Murder in the Morning from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The reason we have trials is to get to the bottom of things, to figure out what the hell is going on. It's very easy on the outset of a trial to have your opinions, to go into a camp, which is really what happens a lot these days. We saw it in the Karen Reed trial. We even saw it a little bit here in the trial of Ashley Benefield. And us on shows like this, we certainly have our opinions and we base it on what the information that is available to us to make those opinions. But what's always important in anything in life is the ability to hear other sides and take that in, take them into account. And maybe your opinion changes. Maybe your thoughts change based on new information and new facts. And I feel like we're doing a lot of that right now in the trial of Ashley Benefield, otherwise known as the Black Swan murder trial. Do you agree?
I do. I saw some of what we're going to be talking about today. I watched her on the stand go through a really traumatic event. And I have a family full of liars. I this sounds like a horrible thing to say, but I've got a couple of family members who are notorious liars. And I can detect lies. I've gotten real good at it. I'm not picking up anything from her that this is, you know, made up, fabricated, exaggerated. I think this really happened to her. And I've changed course because I think yesterday when we talked about it, I said, I think she's going to be guilty. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that today. Not at all.
I think it's still going to be hung jury. That's kind of where I'm at still at the end of the day's testimony. But I do feel, like I said this yesterday, I do believe she believes what she's saying. And she believes that she was in an imminent place of danger with Doug. And I understand why now, because there's been evidence that's been presented today that shows a pattern, a history that goes beyond Ashley Benefield of really, this is a term I don't like because I think it gets overused, the toxic masculinity. But Doug seemed to be one of those guys who was really into being a tough guy. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to show you because you're my woman. And anybody that looks at you the wrong way, I want to destroy. They shouldn't be on this planet. I mean, that's fucked up thinking. That's like what an 18-year-old that's really high on testosterone and wants to fuck their fucking car or anything that moves at that moment in time is thinking because they're so amped up. We're talking about a 50-some-year-old man who is basically operating on a testosterone level of a teenager is what it felt like. And he even says it in his texts. And these are irrefutable things. We saw a text message string, and we're going to listen to some of the testimony in here in a few moments, that really, yeah, this is a guy who's really high on being the guy's guy and protecting his woman, but at the same point, really just being a toxic human being and being very insecure in himself. I think one of the, go ahead.
I just want to interject something here, and I'm not speaking for all women, but I'm going to speak for a lot of women that I know.
Yeah.
The more sensitive and gentle a man is, the more we are attracted to that. The big Mr. Frickin' tough guy, and I'm gonna go beat the shit out of somebody. We just kind of look at that and go, really?
You know, I'm going to have to disagree with you from a male standpoint.
Because I am
the gentle guy. And I can tell you more times than not in my life, I have seen the women go for the uber masculine, over the top. This guy's going to abuse you and treat you like shit. I can tell you right now, but they go for that more than the more sensitive guy who's going to have, you know, a lot of, you know, masculinity, but not a toxic level of it. But maybe,
I think there's something visceral that makes these women attracted to them. But I think when they step back and go, wait a second.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I deserve better than this.
I think later in life it changes. I think where I'm at now in my life, I'm in my, you know, my early 40s. And I can tell you prior to that, most of the 20s, early 30s, it was very much, I was never that guy. I was a sensible, pragmatic, I'm going to really treat you right and do good. But then I just saw so much that goes the other way. But now the tables have turned a little bit and for a good reason. But I like it now because I think everybody's kind of got their youth shit out of them. And people are realizing what actually matters in life. But I'll tell you, for the first 40 some years of life, from a male standpoint, what you said is not accurate for, I think, a lot of guys who are more, you know, balanced and kind and not, you know, ugh.
That makes me really sad because when I look at some of the people that I'm in touch with now from high school, all of the macho assholes.
Yeah.
I have them. They're like blocked on Facebook. Now I'm friends with the geeks and the nerds and the very quiet ones, the ones that didn't stand out much. Now I'm really good friends with a lot of them. And mm-hmm. I prefer them over the asshole football player who was, you know, such a dickhead to me several times and the school bully and bleh. No, I would rather have the quiet guy who's sitting there tinkering with something going, yeah, I'm just kind of a nerd. I hang out with, you know.
It's playing the long game.
It's exactly what it is.
It's what I've done. I'm playing the fucking long game. Like, you know, but I understand exactly what you're saying. And I do see it from the other perspective as well. I just wanted to interject that little bit there.
Absolutely.
But here we are as this trial continues on. The court heard from Dr. Russell Vega, a state medical examiner who detailed Douglas Benefield's fatal wounds and presented photos and a demonstration of the bullet trajectories. The path of travel was one entering the right side of the chest, striking the fifth rib to the right side and right lung, the tenth rib, the body in the middle of the spine, and the left rib and the tissues in the back until it stopped, explained Dr. Vega. In a dramatic turn, we're going to start listening to some testimony here. Ashley Benefield took the witness stand, and she became tearful when recounting the events leading up to the shooting, necessitating a break to compose herself. She continued her testimony, emphasizing her self-defense claim. Let's take a listen.
What was it, if you recall in particular, that attracted you to Ashley?
He was funny, very smart, charming. We just instantly clicked.
Was Doug in the military?
Yes, just like my dad, he was in naval aviation.
Did he turn out to be who you thought he was?
No, not at all.
I want to direct your attention, Ashley, now, if I can, to the day of the homicide, September 27, 2020.
Okay.
Specifically, late in the afternoon, would you tell us why Doug was at your home?
He came over to help load some of the larger items that my mom and I had kind of pre-staged in the garage into the U-Haul truck.
And were there any discussions between the two of you about the order that these things should be placed in the back of the truck?
Yes, we had discussed that my things would be going in last, right at the front, so they would be easy to get out first. At one point, he had me help him load one of the larger pieces into the back of the U-Haul truck. And when I was up in the truck with him, I realized that everything had been all like mixed together and it was no longer separated. And I pointed that out to him, and he got really offended and upset. He said, "It shouldn't be your stuff, my stuff, your house, my house."
Was there a particular demand he made at that time?
He said, "I needed to start acting like a wife."
Tell us at that point how you chose to deal with him.
I tried to change the subject. I could see how upset he was getting, so I wanted to kind of alleviate that.
And how was Doug reacting to your efforts to do that?
He was getting more upset and aggressive and threatening.
What's your reaction to that?
I can kind of relate to that. I had a abusive boyfriend that you knew.
Yep.
I could relate immensely to what she was talking about. There was a part toward the end, one of the last cuts that we'll play, where she's talking about what happened. Mm-hmm. I always envisioned something of that nature happening to me. And I got a little bit teary-eyed listening to her, because I'm like, wow, that was my future if I had stayed with that fuckwad.
Yeah.
I think a lot of women listening who've been in, well, and maybe men who've been in horrifically abusive, mentally abusive relationships can really relate to what she's saying. We're just the littlest fucking thing can make these like event that triggers these things. It's something mm-hmm. little that just like a switch flips in these people. And you sometimes don't even see it coming. So you're constantly on eggshells because anything could trigger them. And then when it happens, you see this entire chain of events beginning and you recognize it. You're like, oh, fuck, here we go. Buckle up. So I could really see it. And you can feel her starting to escalate. So mm-hmm. to me, I can relate because I can see it in myself. Sucks.
I totally hear you. Let's listen to more testimony from Ashley today.
Yes, I could see how upset he was, and I didn't want him to get more mad at me.
Mm-hmm. Doug go after that incident?
He continued to the garage with the box.
And what happens at that point?
We started getting into a back and forth about being done for the day and what still needed to be packed and that I wanted to be done. And we ended up in our daughter's bedroom and he started screaming at me. He said, "Shut the fuck up." He started calling me names. And he said, "I can see what you're doing. You're trying to get me to leave." He said, "I don't have to leave. I can stay and spend the night if I want to because I'm your husband."
At that point, Ashley, how did you feel with respect to your own personal safety?
I was scared.
Did you take any steps to try to avoid anything further?
Yes, I ran to try to leave the house.
And where did you run to?
To the front door.
Did you make it?
No.
Tell us what happened.
He stopped me. He grabbed me by the hand and he yanked me back. I'm not really sure how he did it, but he like spun around so he was in front of me, between me and the door.
So
he said,
"I'm sorry, go ahead."
He said, "Where the fuck do you think you're going?"
What was your response? Do you specifically recall? Tell us.
I just blurted it out. I said, "I'm done, and you need to leave now."
What was Doug's reaction to that command to leave now.
He said you can't fucking leave me.
Then what happens?
He hit me in the side of the head.
Ashley, I'm going to... It's been marked as defendant's exhibit number 7.
And the break in the sound you're hearing there is from the court itself and their feed, where it sounds a little choppy. It's not your, yeah, your podcast feed. Reactions to that?
Again, can relate. Just that escalation and the inability to protect yourself in the moment. And she's explaining what a lot of people have experienced.
Yeah,
to me, it doesn't feel exaggerated. It doesn't feel like she's making things up. She's covering. I was never hit by the awful boyfriend, but I had a really shitty dad, and I watched this as a 4-5-year-old child. Yeah. You know, we can get into that some other day. But she's describing something that many people are very familiar with.
It's a control thing. He's trying to control things. She had expressed that they were going to get back together. They had agreed to that to some degree. And she even, by her own admission in this testimony, I don't know if we're going to have it on our clips, but had said today, she wasn't even quite sure what she wanted to do at that moment in time. And he couldn't handle that. He couldn't handle that. Maybe she's thinking this isn't a great idea, judging by the way that he'd been acting. And we learned a lot of things today in this. Do we have audio of where she talks about the ex?
No, I did not have access to that. So okay. No, we don't have that one.
I think we need to bring that up because she, in her testimony today, talks about, and this is the bombshell of the whole damn thing. She talks about, she's cleaning things up, she's going through stuff, she finds an old phone, and on the phone, she looks at it, and there's, I believe it was a phone, or was it an email? It was something that was verifiably real. And in that, it's a message from his deceased ex-wife, who talks about their honeymoon, and she's writing a letter to him expressing her distrust, her discomfort, her disgust, her anger, her hurt that on their honeymoon, he's not the person that she thought that he was going to be. He, according to her and the ex-wife, he allegedly kicks her really hard in the bed because... And here's the fucking kicker. This is an actual moment where I'm not trying to make a pun, but I just made a pun. Here's the caveat of it. Because he couldn't get it up.
So he's fucking frustrated.
He's frustrated, and he gets mad at her. And she, in that message...
It's obviously her fault.
And in that message, she's like, look, if you needed to use Viagra, that's fine. I would not care about it. And like, you know, I wouldn't be bothered by that, but you chose to take that out on me.
Wow.
So there's that allegation that's in there. And there's other things as well. And it shows abuse. I mean, it shows someone who can't handle themselves. Someone who has very little self-control, acts out in an extreme, this is, I think, if any case has the reason to use the term toxic masculinity, this is it. Doug seems to be that kind of a guy, and will act in such extreme ways that he thinks he's just, you know, he's macho, he's doing this or that, but there's nothing fucking macho about fucking touching a woman or hitting a woman or it's fucking insane. It's insane.
It shows weakness.
It's the epitome of weakness, if that's what you're going to do. But it shows some evidence of frustration with himself in the past. that came out in a violent way towards a different woman.
Man.
Let's listen to more of the testimony. This is talking about the picture that she took the night that she did shoot him. And just to verify the facial injury that she had of being slapped by Doug Benefield.
Tell us what that represents.
It's a picture of my face.
Is it an accurate picture of what your face looked like on that night?
Yes, sir.
Who took that photograph?
I don't remember her name. She was at the sheriff's office.
At the sheriff's office? Okay. Now, what is it about that photograph that shows or reflects the slap or the hit that you got to the side of your head by Doug?
That side of my face is like swollen and puffy and discolored around my eye.
And is your eyelid drooping?
Yes.
On the side where you were hit?
Yes.
Your Honor, I move Defense Exhibit Number 7 into evidence.
Received.
Yeah.
You know, so there's photographic evidence of her being injured by a physical altercation. And she doesn't strike me as somebody who's going to whack herself upside the head to make it, you know, look good. You know, this was witnessed by somebody at the sheriff's office. That's who took the photo. So where did that come from? How is she not a battered woman if that's what's going on?
Well, she did say that this was the first time he ever laid a hand on her. But I think it's important to understand that, or hit her. The abuse doesn't just have to be hitting.
Right.
By any means. I mean, we heard testimony today about him throwing chairs, throwing a table into the air, and just acting, you know, completely out of control. And it's testimony, and it's coming from her. But when we start to understand some of these other pieces, it does kind of play in line with, you know, what we understand to be him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found it here. This is the testimony.
This is part of the texting conversation. This is a text from Renee Benefield to Doug.
Is that a true and accurate copy of what you came across that day that you just related to us?
Yes, sir.
At this point, I'd like to move that into evidence as defense exhibit number 11.
No objection. Received.
We're about to hear
I'm going to read this to you. Let me know if it's accurate.
Okay.
I was deeply disappointed that you distorted the truth about who you really were when I married you. I loved you, though finding out you weren't really what you pretended to be. You kicking me so hard on New Year's Eve on our honeymoon because you were having trouble functioning in certain areas. You holding a gun to your head twice in my home that I opened to you with my children that still love you. Having to sell everything down to my wedding ring. Finding out you were on Viagra, which all of you had to do was tell me, you know I wouldn't care. Trying to film us making love on our honeymoon. Finding out that you wore eye pencil on and on. I loved you so much I didn't care. That's why I was shocked to think you would take pictures of me without asking. Is that accurate?
Yes.
tell us, Ashley, how Doug would act when he would go off.
He would call it a fit of rage. Sometimes it was as simple as him just yelling and screaming at me or cussing at me, calling me names. Other times he would throw things or break things or smash things. He would come at me like he was going to hit me. He told me I was lucky that he punched walls instead of me.
Are there any incidences in particular, Ashley, that stand out to you?
Yes.
Tell us, please.
We were having an argument, and he came at me like he was going to hit me. And our dog, Sully, jumped up in between us, and he punched him in the face so hard that he knocked him out. I just remember screaming because I thought he had killed him.
Were there other times that Doug hurt the animals?
Yes, he had punched Sully. He threw our cat multiple times. Yeah. One time he threw Snuffy down the stairs.
What kind of impact did this behavior have on you?
I was always walking on eggshells, trying to do the right things. Because if I said the wrong thing, he would get mad at me. And so I always tried to do it right. If I wore the wrong thing, he would call me a whore or a slut. I feel like I couldn't do anything right.
That's some of the testimony right there. I knew the animal part. I could hear your reaction.
Yeah.
And I thought
Sorry,
of it immediately.
Couldn't hide that.
I'm like at that moment, okay, Stacy's gone on this one.
Yeah. Let me tell you, yeah. My ex, the one that you knew,
yeah,
kicked my cat. And this is just, I'm a very passionate animal person. I don't have any kids. Yeah. I have cats.
Yeah.
And I've always had animals.
Yeah.
I'm sort of a recent cat person, like within the last 25 years.
It's not recent.
But I grew up with dogs.
Within the last 25 years. In the last quarter century, you've become a cat person.
Yes, exactly.
But you've been a cat person since the moment I met you. You gave me my first cat. That cat is now deceased because it's been so long. And that cat lived a long time.
Yes, that's a true story. But here's the thing. I knew that my relationship with this guy was shitty, and I knew that I deserved better. I'd had a couple people, I think, including you,
yep,
take me aside and go, girl, you got to get away from this asshole.
I
and
I never went, I know. Yep.
But here's what happened.
Yep.
One night, my cat, Sammy, Siamese mix, love of my life.
Mm-hmm.
He was an asshole. Okay. Cats can be assholes. That's kind of why I love them. He peed on something of my boyfriend's. Mm-hmm. And when cats pee on things, something is typically wrong. Is there a bladder infection going on? You know, some sort of UTI? It's worth finding out. Or do you just have maybe an unneutered cat? They pee on things too. That's called marking.
Sure.
But my cat peed on something and I went, God, I wonder what's wrong with him. Well, my boyfriend had been kicking him.
Oh my God.
So when I found out, I witnessed him kick Sammy. And instead of intervening, going, what the fuck are you doing to my cat? I stepped back and went, I've got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. If I do anything right now, we are all in trouble.
Yeah.
And my cat, Sammy, I had spent $1,000 on veterinary bills trying to figure out what was wrong with him. I think the boyfriend was poisoning him in small doses. That's what the vet told me, is I think this cat's being poisoned. So I knew I had to get out. And the next day I told my radio partner, my morning show partner, I need to leave and I need to leave quickly. So as soon as we're done with the show, I'm going back to where I live because I lived with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I took some hefty bags and we packed everything up and got me the fuck out of there.
Yum.
I think had it not been for my cat,
mm-hmm,
I would have stayed.
You'd have been dead.
Yeah.
You would have been poisoned next.
Yep. So I can relate to this so much, but not everybody has the strength to see what's going on and change their circumstances. I'm not faulting her, but she just didn't have the means to get out.
And I don't think strength is the right word. I don't, because I think it's perception. I don't think all of us have the ability to perceive what is actually going on around us when we're in abusive situations. That's why we end up getting stuck in abusive situations. That's why people stick in abusive situations. It's not because there's not courage. It's because you don't see any other way out. And you keep hoping that those glimmers of goodness that you did see there at one point in time, because there's a reason you're together, usually. And we keep going back to those things going, oh, well, you know, they're troubled by this right now, or this is going on in their lives and this is hard. So we keep giving grace. Empathic people keep giving grace to abusers. It's what we do. And that's why this happens the way it does. And it just keeps going. It's not a strong thing. It's not a strength thing. It's just not being able to see, you know, the tree before, or the forest before the trees. And a lot of it has to do with conditioning. A lot of it has to do with things that have nothing to do with the relationships. It's who we are as a person and our perception and our prism of reality going into it. And I've said prism of reality in this case a lot, because I do think there are some things here with Ashley that were not accurate. I do think she presented some things a little more dramatic than is reality. But the more I understand her case, and the more that the system failed her over and over and over, the more I understand where she thought, maybe I have to make this more dramatic if they're going to listen to me, because they're clearly not listening to the basic facts that I'm presenting. So do I have to make this more standout-ish to get some sort of attention for my own safety and the safety of my daughter? Yeah, I think she did. And honestly, if I was in that same position, I'd probably do the same fucking thing.
Very accurate.
Let's take a listen to one more piece of testimony here. This is her talking about what happened right before the shooting that night.
Like, the veins were bulging in his neck. The way he was looking at me, he didn't even look like Doug. His eyes were...
Did he yell anything at you?
He said, "You're fucking done."
What does he do at that point?
I held the gun, like, in front of me, and I said, "Stop." And he, like, turned and he got into this, like a fighting stance. He, like, I got low, and he started, like, moving his arms and his hands around. And he was making these, like, jerking motions.
What were you expecting when you were holding the gun out in front of you and you told him to stop?
I thought when he saw it, he would leave.
Did he?
No.
At that point, Ashley, what are you thinking?
I thought he was going to kill me.
Tell us what happens next.
He started coming towards me, and then he lunged at me, and I started pulling the trigger. And he just kept coming. And I remember trying to move to get away from him, but he kept coming at me.
Ashley, would you tell us why, if you're holding a loaded firearm, you were attempting to move away?
I was trying to get away from him. I was terrified.
All right, so you're firing. He keeps advancing. What happens next?
It was like his feet slipped out from under him and his legs went up in the air.
When when Doug hits the floor, what's your immediate reaction?
I ran to get help.
If you're watching this video, it's hard not to believe her. I've seen a lot of people lie in court. I don't think she's lying at all.
I don't feel that from her at all.
I think she went through a ton of trauma, and she's trying to make sense of what she needs to do at that moment in time. Cause she's not just thinking of herself either. She has a daughter.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who is intimidating, has a pattern of abuse. Doesn't have to be hitting, but he has a pattern of abuse. And if he's making these statements and basically keeping her captive in the property, I get where she's coming from.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at this from an outside standpoint, you're like, okay, I don't know any of the backstory. Is this excessive force? Maybe. But that's not what we're looking at here. You have to put it all into context. And when you understand what she knew and what she knew of him and the capabilities of what he had to do, and especially there was texts earlier where he's talking about destroying human beings and taking them off the face of the earth because they were flirting with her. I mean, this is a man who's a bit unhinged. Whether it just is macho talk or not, it doesn't fucking matter. Because that's what's in her compass and her prism at the time of making that decision and trying to just scare him off. If he would have just walked away, he probably wouldn't have been shot. But if he went into this, I'm going to fucking be a karate kid, you're probably going to get shot, dude. Which he did. Which he did. The defense also motioned for a judgment of acquittal, arguing that the state had failed to provide credible evidence against Ashley's self-defense claim and that she acted out of fear rather than an ill will or hatred, which I agree. She actually, today she even talked about her love for Doug. Of when the good times were good, they were good. And that's how they are with people like this.
Yeah.
It's great when it's great. And when it's down, it is fucking down. And then suddenly you go back up the roller coaster again. And it's wonderful. And you, it doesn't have to. Maybe it'll be a better ride. Maybe. No. And then boom, you're back to the bottom of the fucking mountain. The judge denied the motion, allowing the trial to proceed. And there's been other witnesses that have taken the stand. I know we have another story we're going to talk about here on Murder in the Morning, and I know we've already gone, like, this is our record long segment, but what I want to do in our next segment is actually go and work our way through, some of the cross examination of her, and talk about that. The other story that we have is, the allegations of Diddy being involved with the Tupac murder, which is another very compelling case, but I'm going to cover that. We'll do that one the next day. We'll do that on Tuesday morning. Cause this is, I think we want to get the full context of all of this because what the state fucking did to her next, is very shocking. I was watching this with the Bob Mata and some other defense attorneys as it went on and everybody's just like, what the fuck is this?
Wow.
It's coming up next.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers, some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try on new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.